Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the believers, they have intense love for Allah ta'ala. Just the gist of that ayat is that the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very intense in the heart of those who are believers. And the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not complete without the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tawheed is incomplete without belief in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who believe that we can, without Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's ahadith, without his sayings, without his teachings, and without obedience to him or following him, we can attain Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's closeness, then they are very badly mistaken. No one else could have explained to us how to perform our salat, how to give zakat, to whom to give zakat, when is zakat farz. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, aqimus salat wa atu zakat. But now how to perform that salat, how many rakats of the salat, same with hajj, same with fasting, all the details, who explained to us? But there's no time to go into that direction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is intense, and it has to be with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, Salasun man kunna fi wajada bihinna halawat al-iman. Three things, if a person has, then he will taste the sweetness of iman in his heart. The taste of iman the person will get when he has got three things. First thing is that the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more than the love of anything else in this world. We will love our children, we will love our homes, we will love our families, we will love the wealth that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to us. But the love of all these things must not be more than the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When there's a conflict, then at that time we will give preference to the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, irrespective of how difficult that may be upon our nafs. The second thing that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam says is that the person loves another person solely for the pleasure of Allah. La yuhibbuhu illa lillah. Nothing else. Not for worldly wealth, not for loans, not for material gain, not for properties, not for any kind of help and assistance. Nothing. He loves that person solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That means that muhabbat is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Then after that, the person can give what he wants to, and the person can transact business, and he can exchange gifts and everything. But that love must be solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And the third thing is, the person after having entered into Islam, then he hates going back to kufr, just as a person would hate going back into the fire, or a person hates going into the fire. The person left his kufr, he left his shirk, he left his atheism and communism and socialism and all other kinds of ideologies that he believed in, and he came into Islam. So now he hates to go back, just as a person would hate to go back into fire. Now we can go on discussing this, but I want to get further than that. to a hadith or to the signs. Now here in this hadith sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that these are the three things. Any person who possesses these three sifat, these three qualities, these three attributes, then he will definitely get the sweetness of iman. So now people think that we are talking about sweetness of iman, halawat of iman, and so many other things. But where is it? We can't seem to get any taste. But we have to understand that the sweetness of sugar is something else. The sweetness of honey is something else. The sweetness of saccharine is something else. Different kinds of sweetness we have in this world. And each one has got its different qualities and different properties. So like that, if we are wanting to get some kind of sweetness of sugar in our hearts, then we will keep on waiting, we will never get that sweetness. Because that is not what is meant here. We must thank the commentators of ahadith, Allama Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi and so many others, that they made it easy to understand after looking into the ahadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, that what are the signs that this person has got sweetness of iman? When can you say that now you have got some sweetness of iman? Or when can we claim that? So the first thing that is mentioned there is istilzazu ta'at. The person gets an enjoyment in his ibadat. The person gets an enjoyment in his namaz, in his fasting, in his zikr, in his tilawat. The person now begins to get enjoyment in charities, in taking care of the weak, the poor, the destitute. The person gets an enjoyment in umrah, in hajj. The person gets an enjoyment in tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, in ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person gets enjoyment in taking care of his parents who are elderly, in taking care of his children, in giving them Islamic upbringing and education. In other words, all those teachings of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in the Quran and Sunnah, now this person does not do it because there is some kind of force that if I don't do it, I will go to the fire of Jahannam. He doesn't do it because of that. Now he looks forward to it. There is a kind of enjoyment that he now gets in all this ibadat. There is no more that kind of pressure upon him that now, if I don't do it, then I will go to fire of Jahannam. So therefore I must get up for my Fajr Salat. No more like that. The person now looks forward to it like how a hungry person looks forward to eating food. A person who is hungry, then you don't have to give him a long speech. If there's biryani and 7-course meal that has suddenly been laid out on a dastarkhan at a walima or a wedding, and this very, very hungry person has been brought there, now do we require a long speech for this person to tell him the virtues and fazail of eating? Does he require that? The person is looking forward to eating. He is now going to enjoy that meal. Like that, this person who has got his taluk with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he looks forward to doing all those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gets an enjoyment in his salat also, that I'm standing before my Allah. When he is in tahajjud salat, then at that time also there's an enjoyment. Nobody forced him. It is not farz, it is not wajib. Who forced him? Nobody lashed him. Nobody poured cold water over his face or threw boiling oil that you must get up. Now the person is looking forward to it. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. So now he gets an enjoyment in his sajda also, in his tilawat also, in everything. Istilzazu ta'at. That is the sign that this person is now coming close to what we term as halawat of iman, the sweetness of iman. That now he is looking forward to ibadat, to tilawat, and to doing those things which at one time were like a burden upon him, but now he is finding enjoyment in it. That is the sign. Then the second thing is isaruha ala jami'i shahawat wal mustalazzat. That there will be a lot of taqazas of the nafs. We keep talking about demands, demands. Parents, they say, are making demands upon the children. Children are making demand. Wives are making demand. teachers are demanding, pupils are demanding, governments are demanding, citizens of the country are demanding, everybody they say is demanding. So just as everybody else is demanding, our nafs and our shaitan are also demanding. They also want us to come their way. They also want us to obey them. Now this person who has got sweetness and halawat of iman in his heart, then this person is going to sacrifice that desire which has come into his heart to do something that is evil, that is displeasing to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will sacrifice that desire. He will give preference to ibadat, tilawat, zikr, pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala over those desires. Desires will come. Until dying day, shaitan is not going to leave any person. And such kinds of desires is going to bring in the heart, that there will be no end to the fulfillment of those desires, and at the end of the day, the person will never ever be satisfied. Many times I have mentioned and tried it out, and those who have tried it out, they know that has there been any limit that you can place to enjoyment in sins? That a person says that one more time and after that I will be satisfied. One more time if I watch that porn site, then I will be satisfied. One more time if I read that filthy magazine, then I won't buy another one. One more time if I take one pull, then I won't be pulled forever. It will never be like that. It's like the water of the ocean, salty water. The more the person drinks, the more the desire to commit it, the more the desire to drink. And the more he drinks, finally his stomach will bloat and he's going to die. Like that, this person will go deeper and deeper and deeper. A beautiful example has been given by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh. If only we can understand that those people who say that one more time, I'm still young, I'm still in my prime of youth, I've still got a long way to go. If I'm not going to commit fornication and I'm not going to watch all these haram things now, then when am I going to do so? So let me carry on and I will make tawbah in latter life. So the example he gives, he says that a person planted a thorn tree on the side. On the pavement he planted a thorn tree. As the tree started growing, everybody started complaining that this is the place that people walk. Some people's clothes are getting torn. Some people are getting injured. So therefore remove this thorn tree. So this person, very intelligent, he says tomorrow. The next day they tell him, he says tomorrow. It's an example. He says tomorrow. In the meantime, what is happening is that the roots are going deeper and deeper into the ground. And the tree is growing bigger and bigger. And this person is then told by the Itegwini municipality that now you will have to remove it, otherwise we are going to fine you. So then he comes and finally now he has to uproot that tree. But what has happened now that he kept saying tomorrow, tomorrow, so he grew old in age, he got weak in body, now when he's trying to push that tree, he cannot push it. So he gives this example to say that is our condition with sins. When we are going to say, tomorrow I'm going to give it up, so that tomorrow is not going to come. And what is going to happen is that the person will get older, his body will get physically weaker, mentally and spiritually he will be tired. And now when he is going to try to uproot those sins from his life, the roots have gone very deep into the ground, and it will become extremely difficult for him. So don't wait for old age to uproot those sins. When we read of 75 and 80 year old people committing adultery or raping or committing other kinds of sins, then it shocks us that how can 70 year old person do this to his granddaughter. But what has really happened is that this person for 70 years of his life, he has been saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. He hasn't been giving up those sins. So his whole life, that is how he was nurtured. So even if he become 90 years of age, he's going to go in the same direction. So therefore, he says, Isaruha ala jami'i shahawat wal mustalazzat. The person who's got sweetness of iman, That is one of the signs that this person will give preference to ta'at, to ibadat, to the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he is going to sacrifice these evil desires. Daag-e hasrat hazaar khaaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. Daag-e hasrat hazaar khaaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. In haseenon se dil bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. In haseenon se dil bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. Daag-e hasrat hazaar khaaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. In this life of ours, we'll have to take the pain on our hearts, the wound on our hearts of hasrat, making high, high. Then only we will be able to get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we say that whatever others do, we must do. If they are enjoying themselves at the discos and rave clubs and drugs and cinemas and theatres and adultery and fornication, then we also must follow suit. Then we will never, never able to get Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sweetness of Iman and the halawat of Iman in our lives. Then we will be only not even dreaming of it. Daag-e hasrat hazaar khaaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. There will be demands on the from the nafs and shaitan. And this person will remember that temptation will lead you into trouble and will make you cry. So therefore he is not going to accept those demands of the nafs. He will accept the demand of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In haseenon se dil bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. Does not only mean pretty faces. For some person that haseen is the taking of interest. He is making millions on taking of interest. So now for him that is his haseen. So you will have to give up that. For some person his haseen is some pretty face that he has given his heart to. Then they also, the person has to understand that one day this person will turn to dust. If Allah Ta'ala has made her haram for me, I will never ever get happiness in my relationship with her. Look at the number of murders that are being committed just because of illicit relationships. Look at the number of people that have gone on to drugs and all other kind of vices just because of those illicit relationships. How many people have given up their Iman and their Islam just because of those pretty faces? Go to the parks in spring and look at all the beautiful flowers there. Green, blue, yellow, red, white, purple and every other color. After some time, go and look at those flowers again. They have withered. They have fallen to the ground and they've turned to dust.
Be-nisha ho gaye har nisha qabr mein khaak chaani magar kya mili.
No sign left of that beauty anymore. So don't give your hearts to those beauties which are going to perish. Love your wives, Allah Ta'ala has ordered, must love them. But look at the number of cases we are dealing with recently of illicit relationships, extramarital relationships. Persons are losing their wives, they're losing their children, they're losing their health, they're losing their wealth. What did we get? At the end of the day, what did we get in it? Anybody found peace and happiness? So therefore it is said that is the second thing. Tahammulul mashaq fi mardatillah is the third one. That the person takes all kinds of difficulties and hardships and pain in this path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he takes that pain. And then see what beautiful life Allah ta'ala will bless us with. Hayat-e tayyiba. Peace inside the heart. Contentment and satisfaction. If somebody is talking in millions and billions and trillions, it does not affect the tranquility of the heart. And if somebody is talking about other things, it doesn't affect the tranquility of the heart. Natural pain, natural grief, natural sorrow, even Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself suffered. But the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them such kind of sukoon and peace in the heart that it is not disturbed. Then tajarru'ul mararat fil musibat. That in this life we are bound to face difficulties, hardships, pain, suffering and problem. Nobody can be free from it. The most pious person also, his father is going to die, his mother is going to die, his family, somebody is going to die, somebody is going to be sick, somebody is going to be having accident, something is going to happen, and nobody can say that no, if anything happens to anyone, it doesn't affect me. That is what I'm talking about, the natural suffering, it will be there. But the person swallows down, he gulps down the bitterness of difficulties and hardships. He believes that it is from my Allah, and through it Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making my tarbiyah, is nurturing me, is taking me through the different causes. When we are traveling to Cape Town, sometimes you are traveling through the Karoo, dry desert land, and sometimes you come through garden route, but you carry on, neither do you give up here and neither do you stop over there. You will enjoy the garden route whilst you are going along, but your destination is Cape Town. So it would be foolish to say that now that we have arrived at the garden route, so let's stop here and stay here forever. So like that, this person in this life or in this journey, in this world, sometimes it is difficulties, hardships, pain, suffering, sickness, problems, and sometimes it's prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction, joy, ecstasy. So that is that garden route, carry on. And if it is the Kheru, then to carry on. Because our destination is the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we understand this philosophy, our life will become very, very peaceful. Otherwise it will be nothing but high, 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 high. High paisa, high paisa. Paisa is required, it's a good thing. But it must not become our God. Must not become our object of worship. And then the final thing is that the person is happy in whatever is the decision and will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he has got this in his life, then it shows that this person has got halawat of iman. Otherwise he's got no halawat of iman. It's a world of research now. People are researching. They just want to research everything. There's no problem. Research. But don't come to conclusions on the basis of that research if we don't have a good background knowledge of Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah. Now look at the somersault that Cat Stephen, who then came Yusuf Islam, look at the somersault through his research. His research told him that somebody from Baghdad brought over a guitar to Spain during the Muslim rule of Spain. So therefore there should not be anything wrong with the guitar. So he took a somersault. The one who was at one time saying that the music is totally haram, he has given it up and nobody must have anything to do with music. But look at him back again in the same action. Lesson for us. Allah Ta'ala can forgive him, he can make tawbah, he can become a great waliullah again. But for us it is lessons that we just don't know when this heart can turn around. The moment the person starts enjoying some kind of sin, and the snakes of nafs and shaitan are going to bite again. So does it mean that if somebody brought liquor from Baghdad to Spain, so liquor became halal? Somebody brought a prostitute from Baghdad to Spain, so prostitute became halal? Now look at the kind of research. Read the article. Read his own comments. So let us be alert. Let us be intelligent when it comes to deen also, just as we are intelligent in our businesses and all other activities. Wallah, there is nothing to gain in saying all these things except the desire that myself and all of you and all those who listen, each and every one must have such a connection with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we enjoy the goodness of this life too, the goodness of qabr and the best of the akhirat, nothing else. May Allah bless me too, bless you too, and the Ummat with it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.